I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to High Resolution. I'm Seamus Byrne. Look, you'll be hard-pressed to find someone on the planet today who doesn't know about Minecraft. It's one of those games that has evolved to become much more than just a game, but also a tool for creativity and for education. And today I'm speaking with James Delaney, Managing Director of Blockworks, one of the absolute world-leading design groups for creating amazing environments and architectural designs using Minecraft. Blockworks recently worked with NRMA here in Australia to create a map called Climate Warriors, which is available for download through Minecraft Marketplace for free. It was designed to teach kids aged 7 to 12 about sustainability and the impacts of natural disasters on Australian rural and regional areas. I speak with James about his own journey with Minecraft, how Blockworks has developed its expertise, and the importance of working on projects like Climate Warriors, and how it elevates Minecraft as a medium. Blockworks is a true world leader in this space, so it's a pleasure to talk to James about his company and its place in the evolution of Minecraft and using these kinds of platforms for engaging styles of education like this. So I start by asking James to remember that very first time he opened up Minecraft.
Yeah, a long time ago, probably coming on 10 years now. Yeah, a friend showed it to me, and at first I thought it was a bit of a funny game. You know, the graphics weren't great, wasn't quite sure what was going on, but as a kid who absolutely loves Lego, I very quickly found myself spending hours making myself the best, you know, hole in the ground that I could, you know, my first little base. And I think very quickly I sort of graduated from the survival mode of the game, which wasn't that interesting to me, to kind of the creative mode, which is where you have unlimited building materials, and it's really just this amazing platform for kind of creating whatever you can imagine, really.
In those first moments, is there any clue back then that you're like, this game is going to define a very large part of the future of my life?
Yeah, not at all. I mean, I was very unsuspecting in that regard. And even for the first couple of years of playing, it was just as sort of a hobby. And at that time, I was kind of thinking about the future, what to do at uni, and architecture kind of made sense to me. That was interesting.
Yep.
And then those kind of interests just grew together, and I actually ended up doing my degree project really based on Minecraft, and my postgrad degree as well. So it's played a big part of my life.
Awesome. So if, let's say, you're at a barbecue and you're talking to someone who only has a passing understanding of what Minecraft is, how do you explain what Blockworks is to someone like that?
Yeah, I mean, to start with Minecraft, I guess it's a form of digital Lego, really. It's a really simple game where you can place blocks or destroy them, and there's this infinite world generated from these large chunks. So us at Blockworks, what we do is we use Minecraft to create educational or engaging experiences inside the game. So we're really building games inside a game. Minecraft for us is just a platform to kind of deliver these cool experiences.
And so then how did you start to piece together, I guess, a team? You know, you said you got into the creative mode type stuff. Was there a moment there where you started to just engage with people, whether it was with online communities or things, and you started to realize, oh, actually, if we work together, we can start to do a lot more than just mess around with this?
Absolutely, yeah. Minecraft has these amazing online communities of people who've never met but have a shared passion for what they do. And interestingly, before Microsoft acquired Minecraft, the original creators of the game, Mojang, didn't spend a single dollar on marketing. It was the first, you know, I think 4 or 5 years of the game's existence was purely word of mouth and online communities kind of sharing their work. And then the next stage up from that is people actually getting together in the same Minecraft server, being able to work on the same project at the same time. I was lucky enough to sort of find several other people online who had sort of a shared passion. We thought, wow, we can build bigger and better if there's more of us. And it sort of developed from there.
And then thinking about, I guess, the creation of Blockworks rather than just James and some friends hanging out and making stuff online. Where's that moment where you go, okay, we're making cool stuff to, hey, wait a minute, we can create art and then ultimately even we can start building this kind of collective organization and really structure ourselves into what you've become?
Yeah, I think it was our first commissions really where it's that change between doing what we do because we love it and getting paid to do it. Came about because of Minecraft YouTubers. So maybe 3 or 4 years into the game, people starting to have serious careers about just creating video content about Minecraft and posting it, you know, getting millions of views. And some creators approached us. They thought, well, if we have some cool stuff to play in Minecraft, some cool maps to explore, that would be good for our viewers. And we were well placed to provide that for them. Developing from that, there are then Minecraft servers, which develop their own little micro economies where you could pay to, you know, advance yourself in the game. Those servers need maps for those games to live on. So we then became the map making, map design group. And then the next level up from that was actually when Microsoft reached out to us. This was when they acquired Minecraft about 2015. And they said, can you do some marketing projects for the game, for Minecraft? So yeah, why not? And from there, we've been lucky enough to work, you know, with a whole range of companies and educational institutions and yeah, all sorts of people really.
So then like at a technical level, how does it go from building a block at a time to, you know, doing the kinds of things that you're able to do? I know there's clever tools and things out there, but it's, you know, what is it that helps you be able to, you know, actually design something rather than just guess what you're going to build along the way?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's experience in sort of having a team that really understands each other. Because although we're in the same virtual space, our team members are all over the world. We're not in the same office.
Yeah.
So having to coordinate essentially a 3D environment from remote locations is quite difficult. But we'll normally have a project manager who has kind of the, you know, project leader who has the blueprint in their head. And as a team, we have enough experience of working with each other to understand what people's strengths are. It's an interesting way of working, but it's worked well for us.
Thinking about that all these years on, is there still that moment when you're working, I guess, in that global kind of way where you get up in the morning, some things have happened overnight, you kind of log back in, you see something cool, and do you still get that moment where you go, cool, someone's like done the next big bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And we're all in different time zones as well. So it's people working at funny hours. It's quite almost improvisational. You know, you really rely on different builders to lend their own expertise and knowledge. And sometimes that happens sort of in nice and unexpected ways.
Yeah,
and particularly on the more creative projects where we don't have a very strict brief. It's a really kind of spontaneous and fun way of
so let's talk a bit about this Climate Warriors project that's happened here in Australia with NRMA's support, I think. We've heard lots of stories over the years about how Minecraft has become this sort of really useful educational tool as well as a fun place to explore. You know, for you, what do you feel like is the importance of projects like this in, you know, engaging with interesting topics within, you know, the tool that is Minecraft?
Yeah, I mean, Minecraft just has such a huge audience now. Every kid, if they don't play Minecraft, they know about it.
Yeah.
So it's a really great way to sneak important topics or learning into curriculum or schools or whatever it is. And I think the platform itself is just so versatile and adaptable. It's relatively easy for us to create that content. Versus if we, I don't know, if we had to create a video game from scratch about climate change, firstly, it would take a lot longer. It would cost a lot more. And also it wouldn't be as fun because whatever we do in Minecraft, it still has that magic that makes Minecraft really fun. So we've got an easy job in the sense that the game that we're building on is already hugely successful and at a really good base.
So with Climate Warriors, was that one of the types of jobs where someone came to you with a pretty clear brief, or was it one where they said, we want to reflect on the bushfires or something like that? Mm. And what extra ideas do you then bring to the table?
Yeah, it was a bit of both. We helped a lot with kind of the game design and concept and what was possible. But at the same time, a lot of expertise from NRMA and Think About to do with, you know, the issue of bushfires. I'm not from Australia. Yeah. It's something I see on the news. It looks absolutely horrendous, but I have very little experience of the realities of it.
Yeah.
So working with someone like NRMA who, you know, have a huge amount of data and information on the topic was really interesting.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You know, how do you then, I guess, try to, you know, look at how do you, we're going to do a thing about bushfires and climate change and create a way for people to try to build better understanding. You know, how do you then work the magic of going, well, we have to make sure that someone actually, you know, wants to explore this thing and finds it interesting as well as, as you say, accidentally being educated along the way?
I think the key thing is not to – a lot of people talk about Minecraft and education as kind of gamification, which is the idea of applying gaming principles to an educational process. What we do isn't really that, but it's more the other way around. We apply educational principles to a game. So the key thing is keeping what makes Minecraft fun, which is a bit of exploration, it's a bit of creativity, it's a bit of building, not disturbing that recipe too much, and just kind of threading in bits of information and knowledge that kind of serve the topic of bushfires.
Yeah. And so I guess, can you, you know, explain a little bit about when someone, you know, downloads this and jumps in and, you know, has a bit of a go, what kinds of things are they actually going to, you know, find and explore and hopefully take away from it?
Yeah, so the game probably take 30 to 45 minutes to complete. It's kind of an adventure mode, so you go from, you know, stage to stage, but we recreated sort of an imaginary Australian rural coastal town. We used a lot of references to kind of hopefully make it quite accurate. And you start off at a mission control, which is kind of like a climate surveillance center just on the outskirts of town. You learn a little bit there about the context of climate change and, you know, the increasing threat of bushfires. And then you get this warning that a bushfire is heading to town. So you hop in your helicopter, your NRMA helicopter, you fly into town, you're then at the fire station, you get to go into a fire truck. And all of these things we've added, you know, you don't get fire trucks and helicopters in Minecraft, but we've been able to add them. Along the way, also, we've got lots of nice Australian fauna and fauna, koalas, kangaroos. And you really go around this town. I mean, firstly, it's about preparing for bushfire, then it's about surviving bushfire, and then it's about recovery. So there are little different activities in there which correspond to each of those. And the whole thing is essentially time. So you get a score at the end. And depending on how effectively and efficiently you've completed the map, you know, you could go back and try and do it again with a higher score.
No one ever likes to try to speed run something after they've, you know, played it once, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly.
From, you know, this whole thing, did you learn a few things along the way as well? Or, you know.
Learn a huge amount. As I said about bushfires, it's living in the UK, I think, not that I can remember, we've never had anything like that. So we see it on the news, but particularly understanding the what you have to do to prepare and all the kind of things you need to think about to ensure the safety of you and your community. yeah, a lot of things there that I'll take away with me. And hopefully for Australian kids, it's a bit of reinforcement. Maybe some of the stuff they will hopefully know already. But what's great about this is, you know, it's designed for Australian curriculums, but anyone around the world can play this. I think we've already had close to 500,000 downloads internationally. So awesome. There's going to be lots of other kids elsewhere learning about this. And, you know, climate change is an issue that affects us all. So.
Yeah, that's great. So just to wrap up, I'm curious, do you still play Minecraft for fun these days, or do you get your kicks elsewhere when you're not at work?
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said I did, to be honest. It's when it's your 9 to 5, it's not necessarily the thing you're doing in your off time. I mean, it's still enjoyable. It still surprises me, particularly working on projects like this where it's a bit of a first. I've never seen any kind of project deal with a topic like this before. So it still kind of satisfies me in that way. There are members of our team who still play Minecraft for fun, you know, really hardcore Minecraft fans.
Yeah, but,
yeah.
I remember once upon a time, a big part of what I did was reviewing games on a regular basis. And so you'd always have that thing like, oh, you know, it must be amazing to get to spend all your time playing games. And it's like, there's a difference between playing and working.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, well, you kind of just touched on it there, but, you know, I'm curious then where the pleasure does lie for you in Minecraft now. You know, is it, I guess, by using it as a medium rather than as a game, you know, is there an element there, or as you say, you studied architecture, you know, is that really where the pleasure lies in the creative process?
I think so. I think for us, and we have a lot of architecture students on the team as well, it's really seeing Minecraft as this exciting virtual medium for creating stuff. I think the potential Minecraft has as well in education and tackling these topics is really huge, and, you know, still lots of exploration we can do there. Although it's, what, 11 years old now, it's still on the up, and it's still got a lot to a long way to go.
So, yeah. So for any budding builders out there, you know, do you have any hot tips for people who are kind of going, okay, creative, I can do anything? Because there's that old issue, right, of if you can do anything, then you're often more hamstrung than if you can only do three things.
The best builders that I've seen start with things that you're familiar with. It might just be outside the street. It might be going to the city, you see a museum. But anything that you can build in Minecraft is going to have to come from somewhere. So whether that's inspiration in your town or city, books, films, things like that, that's all really fuel for the imagination. And it's also great to look online and see what other people are building. That's the beauty of a virtual community, is you can gather inspirations from all corners of the world and really put that into creating something unique.
I've got the Blockworks homepage open on a second screen here, and it seems like there's an element of scale there as well, right? That, you know, once those blocks start becoming pixels at a much larger scale, suddenly the resolution gets a lot more interesting.
Yeah, exactly. The bigger you build, the more detailed essentially it is, the better it looks. But scale isn't everything. I mean, we've done some nice little small builds as well. It depends on how much time you've got at the end of the day. Sure.
Awesome. So, look, lastly, you know, what excites you about the future of Minecraft, I guess, as a game and a platform?
Yeah, I think starting to see Minecraft being adopted a lot more in schools. I think this year with COVID, it's actually been really interesting to see Minecraft become this alternative public space almost. A lot of universities and schools have recreated their campuses in Minecraft. Some of them have hosted graduation ceremonies.
Cool.
And seeing Minecraft really almost as an alternative to like the traditional, you know, Facebook or Zoom or whatever it is, Minecraft can do all that, but it's in a three-dimensional world which you can play with.
I mean, that's about it for me. I'm curious, is there anything else that, you know, about this project or about what Blockworks does that excites you that I haven't touched on that you think is always enjoyable to share with people?
I don't know. I just say, yeah, go and play the map, check it out, and hopefully you'll learn something new. And yeah, if you're interested in sort of getting into Minecraft creating yourself, just give it a go. You know, there's nothing stopping you back. We've got people on our team from all over. We've got sort of a trainee policeman. We've got physics PhDers. We've got people who work as chefs. It's a real... There's no type of Minecraft builds, whether you're arty or creative or what. There's something in Minecraft for everyone. So just give it a go.
Awesome. And look, I'd totally encourage people to go and find... I've seen the Blockworks book out there as well. And I think that was one of the... When I saw the Climate Warriors pitch come across, I was like, I know that name. And then suddenly realized I'd remembered, seeing my kids, seeing some of your builds in some of the other Minecraft books out there, and that you do have your own book out there. So yes, I definitely encourage people to go and look you up, because just looking at your homepage, I'm like, I'm inspired. I need to go and try to make something.
Good.
Awesome. Thanks. James, thank you so much for your time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.